Here's the 30-second lesson on what legends know. Never practice nunchucks in a crowded room. Never eat chole before a road trip. Always take your shirt off before you iron it. Don't take a call near a swimming pool. And don't forget, saving is not investing. Legends don't just save, they invest in mutual funds. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
For the past several days, in fact, for more than a week now, you've been seeing pictures and videos emerging from the most famous American campuses. In fact, increasingly Western campuses, because campuses in Europe are also getting involved, but particularly American campuses. And these are campuses that a lot of young people from our country aspire to go to, and also campuses where a lot of the parents want their children to go to. It's very competitive to get in there. Now, Ivy League campuses, many of the others, all of these are now buzzing with protests. These are pro-Palestinian protests. You can also call them anti-Israeli protests. Now, what's also happening is these protests are then reaching another level, which means these protests are becoming a little bit of what was called the Occupy movement earlier. Remember Occupy Wall Street, which means you pitch camp and you say, I am here. I'm not going until my demands are accepted. That's a bit like in India, we might say sitting on dharna. So a little bit of dharna business is happening, except that this is dharna American style. So there are tents and there is a fair bit of setting to all that. Now, in this situation, in many of the campuses, police has been called. This started at Columbia University. On 18th of April, the president of Columbia University, Minoush Shafiq, of Egyptian origin, formerly president of London School of Economics, LSE as well, she called the police. 108 people were arrested. 108 people were, students were arrested. Some of these were also removed from their university or their college accommodation. Also, the daughter of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, she was also expelled from her college accommodation. 108 were arrested. This led to counter protests. Also, this led to some kerfuffle in the Democratic Party. Also became Democratic versus Republican, because then the prominent Republican leader, Mike Johnson, chair of the House, the Congress, remember, he's been in headlines lately for enabling the $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, which was stuck in the American congressional processes. He landed up at Columbia University campus as well. This would be a little bit akin to maybe Tejasvi Surya or Anurag Thakur or someone like that landing up in the middle of a big left protest, left-oriented students protest at JNU, for example. So that's what happened, and that led to other consequences. And you know what? This commotion that's going on American campuses, the appearance of police, the police that looks a lot more formidable, danda and riot shield wielding police in India. You see these very impressive big guys carrying all that tamjam on them. It has given government of India also a gotcha opportunity. So MEA responded to this by saying, and I quote from the statement, in every democracy, there has to be the right balance between freedom of expression, sense of responsibility, and public safety and order. Democracies in particular should display this understanding in regard to other fellow democracies. After all, we are all judged by what we do at home and not by what we say abroad. So translated, this means those who live in glass houses should not throw stones at others. And while MEA has issued this statement, which is clearly a case of delicious schadenfreude, you also see voices from the American right. So there is an article in the Wall Street Journal, which I'll share with you with the description. Read that article. It's by Ira Stoll. Ira Stoll is the founder and editor of futureofcapitalism.com. Writing in the Wall Street Journal, says that sometimes when students protest, particularly say 1968, anti-war, Vietnam War demonstrations, then those who did not like these protests would respond by saying, get a job. And he says, sometimes it looks like even protesting can a job. Quote some examples, particularly the example of two students who disrupted the dinner of the Dean of University of California at Berkeley, Irwin Chemerinsky. And he says that when you study the websites of these students, you can see, says these students belong to US Campaign for Palestinian rights. And he says, when you see the funding of this organization, you can see that this organization is actually seeking recruits to work for them, to protest, also to influence American policy, to prevent America from having military, financial, and other relations or giving Israel that kind of support. So this is all a campaign thing. This is a paid protest because these students who join in this campaign will be paid anything between $2,280 to $3,360 every 3 months for about just about 8 hours of work a week. That is basically protest, 8 hours of work a week. They want America to cut ties with Israel, financial, military, all kinds of ties. Because then he goes deeper into this organization, US Campaign for Palestinian Rights, and it's supported by Education for Just Peace in the Middle East, which is sizable funding from who else but the two favorite villains of the Indian right also right now, that is George Soros and Rockefeller Foundation. So what have these protests done? These protests have broken out at a whole bunch of universities. In fact, I start reading all the names for you. It's a clothesline of the finest universities in America, known all over the world. There is Columbia, University of Texas, Austin, Harvard University, University of Southern California, George Washington University, California State Polytechnic, Emerson College, Boston, New York University, so on and so forth. In fact, our reporter Keshav Padmanabhan, who you know well, who's featured with me on Cut the Clutter in the past, he's drawn up this list for me, so I'm not reading all of it for you. The basic thing is that this has divided American campuses. American campuses, liberal campuses, in a manner that almost nothing has since the anti-Vietnam War protests in 1968. It is not at the same level, but it has the makings of reaching the same level. It has divided the students. In some cases, Jewish students have been harassed, attacked. In one case at Yale University, of all places, a Jewish student, a woman, Sahar Tartak, was attacked with a flagpole. So this has also become a case of anti-Semitism. A lot of these slogans could be like anti-Semitism. For example, from the river to the sea. Now, that's the oldest Palestinian slogan. The Palestinians, one way of saying this is that Palestine should be free. The other way of saying this, which is the Jewish side, and that's the reason they call it anti-Semitic, they say that this means from the river to the sea, which is Jordan River to the Mediterranean. That means the implication is that all the Jews will be evicted from Israel. And that's why it's seen as anti-Semitic. So that's been one of the milder slogans. There have been many tougher slogans. In some cases, in fact, protesting students on the Palestinian side, I mean, many of them are dressed in keffiyehs, Arab keffiyehs, but some are also greeting the Jewish protesters, the pro-Israeli Jewish protesters, with placards saying Al-Qasim Brigade's next target. So in this case, one side calling the other anti-Semitic, the other side saying you deserve it. In that process, American campuses, academia has got divided, students are divided, faculties are divided. In many cases, in fact, it's the faculty members who are leading the protests. We saw a particular video, that video has gone viral across the world. So the video you see of a distinguished woman being pinned to the ground by these really sizable American cops, they are like the movies. American cops in real life also are like the movies because they carry so much onto them. A gun, handcuffs, keys, flashlight, and God knows what else. Each one's like a full police mobile in our country. These guys have pinned her down and they are forcibly putting handcuffs onto her, and she is screaming, "I am a professor, I am a professor." That has come from Emory University, Atlanta, Georgia. This lady is Professor Carolyn Folin, a widely respected professor of economics. Among the pictures you see on these campuses, formidable though these cops look, you also see them on horseback. So you see mounted police. When did we last see mounted police in India? We used to see mounted police during strikes or during riots, maybe in days when we were children, or maybe in our early days as reporters, not now, but on American campuses, you see mounted police. You've also seen pictures which are very disturbing. One of these pictures, which went viral across the world, said that this is a sniper. These are snipers on top of the buildings of American campuses. However, Ohio State University, from where these pictures came, they denied that these were snipers. They insist these were just state troopers keeping a vigil over what's going on. However, if you see the picture closely, it does look like that state trooper, as he might be, he or she might be, looks a he from a distance, is probably carrying a firearm, probably a rifle. So sniper or not is not something we can be sure about. But the fact is that you have armed cops keeping a vigil from the rooftop on these ultra-liberal American campuses. Now, I told you, students are divided, faculties are divided. She's a faculty member. You see the scenes in universities. You see these tents, you see these dharnas, or what the Americans call encampments. You also see one more university president in the firing line right now. That is the president of Columbia University, Minoush Shafiq. Now, she also finally went to speak at the Congress to answer questions there, like the other two who earlier lost their jobs. That is Elizabeth McGill of University of Pennsylvania and also Claudine Gay of Harvard University. So she went in there and she said stuff there, looks like under pressure from some senators, that has angered the liberal side on the Senate in her university. So they want her head. The liberal side also wants her head because she called in the police. Her explanation for calling in the police is that I was worried. They were cooking there. They were lighting fires. They were living in unhygienic situations. And in any case, the campus has to set up for graduation ceremonies, etc. But this is not something that the liberal side is buying. So as I record this, probably at exactly the same time, the Senate of the Columbia University is meeting to take a call on censuring her. There's a strong censure motion. Some members are trying to dilute it. That's a story we read in the New York Times, of which I will share a link with you. Also, one of the professors that you see in this group, that is Professor Sheldon Pollock, who's a renowned Sanskritist at Columbia University. He has his fan following on the left, the right, and the center in India. Fan following in different ways. He also is speaking up, and you can see him quoted in this New York Times story as well. So that's the division there. What this has done further is that it has divided one American politics. That's easy. All politics is polarized now, so we know where the Republicans belong, where the Democrats belong. Important thing is it has divided the Democrats. Not only has it divided the Democrats, but it has also divided the Democrats in terms of what they think of the ultimate Democrat who's not really a Democrat. That is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is at least notionally, technically independent. Senator from Vermont, but generally aligned with the Democratic Party. He's a member of all Democratic caucuses. He's taken a position against Netanyahu and Israel, which has got another Democratic congressman angry, Jared Moskowitz, who has protested, who has actually taunted him by saying, now go and do anti-Semitism. To Bernie Sanders has risen Alexandra Ocasio, who's a very liberal left of center representative from New York, who's risen to Bernie Sanders' defense, saying his family is a Holocaust victim. He himself swears by Jewish principles. And that is empathy for the Palestinian victims is coming from the Jewish values that he has earned. And one of those Jewish values that she quotes is Tikkun. T-I-K-K-U-N, Tikkun Olam. What that means is it's a Jewish concept of acts of kindness to repair the world, right? And she said that is where Bernie Sanders is coming from. Once again, Moskowitz has responded to her also. Now, you will see some of these responses on your screen as we talk, but I will just read out some for you. Bernie Sanders responded to Netanyahu's video. Netanyahu recorded a 2.5-minute video taunting the Americans and asking them to become conscious of what he sees as spreading anti-Semitism on their campuses and in America in general. And he said, Netanyahu, and you will see bits of these videos on your screen, on the other half of your screen as I speak, and maybe I'll take a few seconds break for each one, but the entire videos, each one of these videos, one by Netanyahu, the other by Bernie Sanders, is about 2.5 minutes each. I will share the links with you with the description of this video. So Netanyahu said that not only are the calls and the slogans horrific because they're calling for annihilation of Jews, these are reminiscent of German universities in the 1930s. So he's bringing back the scepter of the Holocaust. And he said, and these are shameful. And fortunately, while the campuses are not able to control it, fortunately, the US government, the US authorities, the establishment is countering it. Then he says that these are not just calls for attacks on Israel or to kill the Jews. These slogans and these protests also call for death to America. And he says that we've been victims of genocide, that is Jews. And we've been victims of genocide, and we are being accused of genocide. And he says this vilification and slander has always been part of anti-Semitism. So somebody has to say enough is enough. And then he says in conclusion, it's a 2.5 minute video. He speaks very good English, as we know, he's very articulate. He says anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine. It always precedes a larger conflagration that engulfs the entire world. Now, the response to him has come from Bernie Sanders and in kind. And remember, Bernie Sanders is also Jewish. His family also suffered in the Holocaust. So what is it that Bernie Sanders is saying? He's saying it's not anti-Semitic or pro-Hamas to question 6 months of your extremist government's war on Palestinian people in Gaza, which has killed more than 34,000 people, injured 78,000, 70% of whom are children and women. Then he goes on to say, it is not anti-Semitic. He's answered rhetoric with rhetoric. That is Netanyahu's rhetoric with Bernie Sanders' rhetoric. It is not anti-Semitic to question you for destruction of 221,000 housing units, which has rendered at least half of Gaza's population, that's more than a million people, homeless. Again, he says, it is not anti-Semitic to question your destruction of all infrastructure in Gaza, all electricity, all water supplies, all sewage. Then he says it's not anti-Semitic to question your destruction of Gaza's healthcare, the killing of more than 400 workers in Gaza's healthcare system, and destruction of 26 hospitals. And then he says it's not anti-Semitic to question you for the destruction of all of Gaza's 12 universities, destruction of 56 schools, damage to hundreds others, which has rendered 625,000 students at least without access to education now. And then he says it's not anti-Semitic to agree with virtually every human rights organization in the world, which is condemning you for blocking aid to Gaza, to Gaza's people, starving people and Gaza's children. And he says, as vile and unspeakable form of bigotry anti-Semitism is, don't insult the intelligence of the Americans because they don't support the war that your government has unleashed and its immoral and illegal policies and your extremist and racist government. Besides, he says, you don't insult our intelligence if we question you on your criminal indictment in Israeli courts. It is not wrong, he says. It is perfectly fine for the American people to hold you accountable for all you've done. Now, this led to Democratic Congressman Jared Moskowitz into taunting Bernie Sanders. He said in a tweet, he says, Bernie, now do anti-Semitism. Why so quiet? This had followed not this video by Bernie Sanders. This had followed a tweet by Bernie Sanders where he wrote, it was a dark day for democracy when the Senate will not even allow a vote on whether the US taxpayer dollars should fund Netanyahu's war against Palestinian people. That is what Moskowitz was responding to. It's in response to that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or AOC rose to Bernie Sanders' defense And she said that, look, his family was killed in the Holocaust. His commitment to protecting innocents in Gaza stems from his Jewish values. And once again, Moskowitz responded to her saying, my family also died in the Holocaust between Germany and Poland. My grandmother was killed in a kinder transport. And then he says, we see each other at work, meaning that we are from the same party. Why don't we talk there? And it has also brought in a division between the Democratic Party and say someone like Bernie Sanders, who's independent, a little bit further to the left of the Democratic Party, but essentially Democrat. Again, if you want to see what mood it has created, see this column also by Nick Kristof. Nick Kristof says that he's known Joe Biden well, and he's known him to be a very empathetic person. And in the past, he's actually reasoned with Nick Kristof to write columns in support of human rights and to support people who are victims of human rights violations. And now his support for Israel will be a black mark on him and will also color his legacy. It may even affect his election. So this is the division it's caused in the liberal system. At the same time, this has got American campuses in a tizzy.